Well, there have been many athletes that have thrilled coastal sporting fans over the years with outstanding performances that remain in our memories to this day. One man who needs no introduction is champion cyclist Danny Clark. Welcome to you, Danny.
How are you? Good, thanks.
Good, mate. And I guess the first thing we might say is that you're still recovering from a bit of a crash that you've had. And, yeah, it's been tough to get those pedals going around.
Yeah, this time was it was a life-threatening crash. I didn't even know it at the beginning, but five of my ribs all smashed to pieces and the splinters went up near my liver and my stomach and kidneys. And they had to operate straight away and put five plates in there. But the problem I'm having now is that I've got to a stage where the lung won't take any more oxygen. I'm only about 75% in my right lung, so when I ride the bike, climb hills and that, I just can't get any breath, so it's a bit of a bummer at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose that you've been on the bike for a long time. You started out in Georgetown, as we know, but you've been riding a push bike for a long, long time, and you've had your fair share of crashes. But as the body gets a little older, we just find it so much tougher to be able to recuperate from some of those.
Oh, that's for sure. I'm 69 now, going on 70, and this one really hurt me. It was a head-on with a girl came towards me on a push bike. Believe it or not, if I got hit by a car, you know, I probably would have walked away, but just the way I fell down on the handlebars of the bike and onto my rib cage and punctured my lung and filled up with water and smashed all the ribs and they all caved inwards. So it was just the way I actually fell onto the handlebars when I come down that made it so bad.
How do you reflect on your professional career, Danny? We know you've done so much. You're a five-time world champion. You've won a dozen European crowns. You won silver at the Munich Olympics in the 1,000-metre time trial. In 86, you received the Medal of Order of the Order of Australia. In 87, inducted into the Sport Hall of Fame. You've got a fair portfolio of achievements. Are you in the Commonwealth Games? I mean, we would probably miss some things out if we kept on going, but how do you reflect on your time as a professional rider?
I just love it, mate. I just like riding my bike, and it's just a fantastic sport to be in. It's real addictive. Even now I train 2.5 to 4 hours every morning and do gym work in the afternoon, so I train just nearly as hard as when I was professional. But I've just loved it the whole way through. It's just been all my life, really. I can't say part of my life because it's really taken over to you know, most of my life. I just love it. And when I look back on the career, everything just, I just rolled along and enjoyed everything while it was happening.
What was driving you? What, at an early age, you must have been mentored by someone, or a lot of it is self-driven, and we understand that, but you're obviously set on the right path as a cyclist early days. What gave you that drive?
I'll be quite honest, I don't really know myself or can pinpoint it. I just, like I said a minute ago, when I took up cycling, I just loved the feeling of it and the excitement of it and getting out on the road and, you know, really hurting yourself. And it's a different kind of pain when you say to somebody, you know, I climb a hill and I have all this pain. The pain, I love going into that pain. It's a different pain than if you're not fit. And it's a really nice pain when your body's in 100% condition and it's just pinging and the feeling's so great. I didn't have anybody. I mean, I've never had a coach. I've done everything myself. I just watch and I listen and I look and take all the things in, and I tried the training things, out training. I used to train with older men than me, and I'd follow them behind, listen to them talk, and so I would just catch on to these things and try them out myself. And I'd go in a race, and if I lost a race, I look back on to why I lost it, you know, what did I do wrong, and if I win a race and things like that. But I never had a coach, and I've never done any specific special training. I've never done any, all these interval things I do. I don't carry a Garmin on my bike to watch how hard my heart's beating. I just do everything that I feel, what's happening in my body. So if I do a time trial, say, I just don't want to go over the red line or stay under red line. Well, I know what to do without having a Garmin sitting in front of me and telling me the numbers, you know.
That's amazing because I guess being driven like that, yeah, as I said, has to come from within and just talking about you listening to the banter and listening to other riders, etc. There's been a lot spoken about certain Australian cricketers and Tasmanian captains and Tasmanians are the captain of Australia, all that sort of thing. Tell us what sort of things go on when you're in a 6-day ride or if you're in a you're in the Bernie Wheel race. So I guess you were starting right off from scratch after the time. You couldn't talk to anyone. But tell us a bit about some of the banter. Does it get pretty red hot?
Not really. I just stick to myself. I just stuck to myself all my life. Like in the 6 days, you got a program. You got all different events all night long, and you know all afternoon and then night. You do. When I was racing, it was 10 or 13 hours a day, and I rode 6 days in a really short, compact time. So I was really one of the hardest things a lot. So you had to concentrate a lot, and then every time you know that you look at the program and you say, well, this race and that race. I never talked much to the riders at all, only my partner. Just for example, the Bernie Wheel race, all I did was that in the 77, that ride that's on the internet a lot.
Yeah.
I just laid in the cabin, sat around and pictured. I pictured the race, how it's going to go and how I'm going to win. So when I walk out onto the track, I line up with the four guys that I had on scratch with me, and I know what they're going to do, and I just picture in my mind what I'm going to do. And I have kind of like a computer in my brain where I can, you know, I can be going down the back straight and the guys can be out in front, and I can have a feeling where I know that where I'm going, the speed I'm going and the speed they're going and when I'm going to catch them.
Yep.
It's just, if I had to go another lap in that Bernie Wheel race, I could have gone another lap because I still had a lot more stuff left in me. It was just one of those days where I was really on top of the world, and every race I rode, I won nearly every race I went in that day. And but it's just, I just kind of picture things like world title. If I'm going to win a world title, I'd be dreaming a week before, you know, how I'm going to try to win it, things like that. So I just, when I come to a race, I just have this feeling that I've got to do this or I've got to do that. And it comes natural, actually, to tell the truth.
And I guess that's the pure sense of being a cyclist. You understand your body, you understand your mind, and you just go and get it done. But you were 150 metres behind with two laps to go in that wheel win, and I get the feeling. Were you aware of Tiger Dowling almost having a heart attack? Just describing in commentary that.
Yeah, I could hear him going, but that didn't make me ride any different. If you really look at that video, Gary Wiggins did two laps for me, and he started slowing down in the bottom bend, coming up into the headwind and the finishing straight to the finishing line. He was really starting to slow down. I yelled out to him, "Get up, get up, get up!" But just because I thought his speed's starting to go down, and I'm watching how far the front in, I think, well, if I can get him out of the way, I've got a good chance of getting them in the next two laps, and that's exactly what happened.
And you've been so embraced by coastal people, Danny. I mean, everyone just a flock to all the carnivals. If you were riding, you had such a tremendous following from the sporting public of the Northwest Coast. And I guess that must have given you a huge boost, because we were seeing someone here from Tasmania who was riding in the coastal carnivals that was world class, top notch, and you just seemed to lift so much more for those carnival series, particularly the Bernie ones. I think you used to love riding at La Trobe, I think. You must be really thrilled with that.
You're right when you said I lift. I can fly to Europe, and then when I get there, I just improve 10%. I don't know why, but I just, you know, you go to Europe. When I used to come to the, when I was only young, I turned professional and I won the three wheel races in the first year. The crowds, you can feel them, how they, you know, you win a race and then the crowd accepts you. So I learned at a very kind of young age to actually try to race for the public. They're the ones paying the money to come and watch you.
Hmm.
And on occasions, I in Australia, I got start money to appearance money. So I feel obligated that I had to at least do something spectacular. So even some races, I mean, I would love to have said I won the Bernie World race. I knew I was going to win it, and I just wanted to make it look good and pass him on the line. That wasn't the case. But some races, like scratch races and things like that, when I'm really flying and I'm coming around the outside of the bunch with, you know, 150, 200 metres to go, I could probably win it by 20 metres, but I just made it look better. So it's more exciting for the public, and the public took me to their heart, and they sent me off to Europe one year. If you can remember, they sent Dave McQuestion from the television. He raised a lot of money for me, and the Tasmanian people put in a lot of money, sent me to Europe for the World Championships. I mean, that really helped me in my career and got me going. So I'm really thankful to all those people in Tasmania.
And what's life like for Danny Clark these days? I know you're living on the Gold Coast, but what's life like up on the Gold Coast? Obviously, you're still training, you're still doing things. Hopefully, you can stay on two wheels and get your strength back. But what do you like to do these days?
Well, my big ambition is to go in the World Championships this year, the veterans, 70 to 75 age group. So that's what I was training for before I got this accident. So I'm trying to get myself going for that, and that's about all that's on my mind at the moment. And my wife's Italian, so she's got a lot of problems in Italy with her family. They can't go out, and her mother's been stuck inside for virtually a year now. So, you know, it's a very stressing time, so I've got all that worry about that. She doesn't know when she's going to see her family again. In fact, they all got positive except her mother and her brother, so they're negative now, but that was pretty scary time. So, I mean, people in Australia don't realise how bad it is when you listen to her sister as a nurse, how scary it is. And so I'm really glad, you know, in Tasmania, I'm glad it's an island, and I'm glad they've done what they have, because you're living a life down there like we are in a service paradise at the moment. We're very, very lucky people. We're the best, luckiest in the world. Yeah. And you just got to realise it and go along with how it's going.
All right, Danny, well, I wish you all the very best. I wish you the best of health, and hopefully you can recover and get to those World Championships. I know that there's not too many around that would probably be able to do it, but I reckon I'll back you in to give it your best shot and get across there, and not only just make it, I reckon you'll make your mark over there. So thanks very much for joining us on the Sideline View.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.